Hello and welcome to Mysteries of Science. My name's Stevie and I'm the Deputy Editor of Science and Nature, the monthly magazine from the team behind The Week Junior.
And I'm Michael, the Junior Editor. In each issue of Science and Nature, we explore the universe through in-depth features, news stories, awe-inspiring images, interviews with top experts, and much, much more.
Yeah, and on this podcast, we're going to be taking a look at one of our favourite mysteries of science. These are the strange phenomena and bizarre events that have left scientists scratching their heads and, despite their best efforts, remain well and truly unsolved.
For today's mystery, we're going up into space, not so that we can travel to another planet, but rather to take a better look at our own.
Just imagine travelling into space and taking a look out of the window to see planet Earth behind you in all its glory. What do you think this would feel like?
Well, Stevie, I haven't been to space myself, not yet anyway, but I imagine that from that distance, the Earth would probably project an air of fragility.
Wow, that's some profound stuff.
It is, isn't it? But they aren't my words, Stevie, but instead the words of another Michael, the astronaut Michael Collins, who flew aboard Apollo 11, the first crewed mission to land on the moon.
Well, I did think it might be a little bit too apertic for you, Michael.
Yes, well, Collins explained a powerful and peculiar feeling that came over him as he looked out at the Earth from space. And he's not the only one. In fact, so common is this feeling amongst astronauts that it's even been given its own name, the overview effect.
Ooh, the overview effect. It sounds exciting. So, the overview effect describes the changes in the way you understand Earth and humankind's place in it after seeing it from afar. Almost every person who's had a chance to look down on our planet from space has experienced their own version of this effect. But why is that? And could there be a way of replicating this feeling here on Earth?
Well, Stevie, I think it's time we spoke to some experts and got our own overview of the overview effect.
This is Mysteries of Science.
10 minutes, 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5. All three engines up and burning. 2, 1. Zero and liftoff!
Okay, I'm going to paint the scene now. It's 7th of December 1972, and Apollo 17, last of NASA's Apollo missions, is on his way to the moon.
Around 5 hours after the launch, one of the astronauts, Harrison Schmitt, looks out the window and snaps a photo of the Earth from space.
Now, there's a chance some of you may have seen this photo because it's one of the most shared images of all time.
It's called the blue marble because in the photo, the Earth looks like, well, like a blue marble. And it captures what so many astronauts have struggled to describe in words, just how remote and isolated our planet looks in space.
The term overview effect was first used by the author Frank White in a book published in 1987. But of course, people had experienced it long before then. There was Michael Collins, as Michael just told you, but also his Apollo 11 crewmate, Neil Armstrong.
That's one small step for man, one giant leap for mankind.
He talked about being able to close one eye and put up his thumb so that it looked like his thumb was blocking out the Earth.
Wow, imagine that, being able to block out the entire Earth with just your thumb. You must feel like a giant.
Well, Armstrong didn't. In fact, he felt quite the opposite. He said it made him feel very, very small.
Interesting. I suppose you would feel quite small if you were that far away from home.
Yes, the moon is around 238,000 miles away from Earth, after all. But you don't have to be that deep in space in order to experience the overview effect. Even trips to low Earth orbit, where astronauts aboard the International Space Station constantly see Earth as a vast sphere below them, and that is enough to trigger the effect.
That's right. I heard about Nicole Stott, who is an astronaut on the ISS, and she described experiencing an overwhelming feeling of beauty.
But Michael, what I want to know is, what is it about looking at Earth from space that has this effect on people?
Well, Stevie, I think I know someone who might be able to help us with this.
Hi, my name's Lisa Harvey-Smith. I'm an astrophysicist and also an author. I write books about space and the universe. My book Under the Stars, Astrophysics for Everyone has been shortlisted for the Royal Society's Young People's Book Prize.
Now, astrophysics is a field of science that studies the behaviour of stars and other objects in space. Lisa had an experience similar to the overview effect when she was 12 years old, which inspired her to become a scientist. But it wasn't to do with the blue marble of Earth, but rather, as she explains it, the orange shiny button of Mars.
I grew up in Essex, actually, even though I live in Australia now. And I got into astronomy really from quite a young age. I was about 12, and my dad and I went into the garden and looked up at the planet Mars one night. And we were amazed that we could actually see this planet with the naked eye, without a telescope or anything. And it looked like this beautiful kind of orange shiny button in the sky. And I was bowled over by that. I was pretty amazed. And we looked at the constellations, so the groups of stars in the sky. I remember looking at the Great Bear, otherwise known as the Plough, and Orion, and lots of other things. And I got into, you know, looking at stars, was obsessed with it, and then read lots and lots of books. And here I am as a professional astronomer.
After 15 years or so of research, Harvey Smith has her own explanation for what emotions might be causing the overview effect.
Yeah, for me, I think when you realise that we haven't just got the eight planets of our solar system and you study those and there doesn't seem to be life anywhere, not obviously anyway. And then you realize there are a few thousand extra solar planets, planets around other stars discovered. But then you realize the potential for life out there and how many stars there are, trillions upon trillions, and probably a trillion planets at least. It just makes you think how lucky we are to be here and how fragile our ecosystem is and how fleeting our existence is. After all, you know, humans have only been around, you know, a few tens of thousands of years, and our universe is nearly 13.8 billion years old. So, you know, the chance of us being here right now is incredibly slim. We might even be the only life forms in the universe, if you believe that. But I just think it's incredible. It's mind-blowing. And that's what I love about astronomy. It really makes you realize how lucky you are to live around this beautiful, stable G-type yellow star that doesn't have explosive events. It doesn't have tantrums. It just looks after us. It warms us. It nourishes us. And our atmosphere allows us to live. It's an incredible, beautiful system that we have here on Earth, and let's not wreck it, eh?
So what Lee's saying is that by looking at Earth from above, you realise just how incredible it really is.
Exactly, and many people have said that they came back from space feeling like a completely different person because of the overview effect. The astronaut Nicole Stott, who I mentioned earlier, said that going to space made her feel more connected to planet Earth than she did while she was actually on Earth, and she decided to become an environmental campaigner. Also, Amazon founder Jeff Bezos, who rocketed to space in July 2021, has committed around £2 billion to environmental causes after experiencing the overview effect for himself.
So if that's the case, that experiencing the overview effect makes people feel even more protective of Earth, then wouldn't it be great if we could all feel like that?
Absolutely. And with the advances in space travel, such as the short trips to the edge of space being offered by the likes of Jeff Bezos' Blue Origin, then maybe that experience will become more commonplace one day. But for now, those flights are few and far between and just for the super rich. If only there was a way we could bring the overview effect down to Earth, though I guess getting a good look at the Earth while you're on Earth would be impossible, right?
Well, it's funny you should say that, Michael, because I know someone who's managed to do just that.
Yeah, my name is Luke Jerram, and I work as an artist. I've got a studio in Bristol, in England. I've made a couple of artworks that have been particularly popular, and one is a replica of the moon, and the other one is a replica of the Earth, which slowly turns, and it's a sculpture called Gaia, and Gaia is the Greek personification of the Earth. So she's like an Earth goddess, is Gaia. And so, yeah, I've been touring these artworks in different places around the world for the last few years now.
So, hang on a minute. You're telling me that Luke's made a sculpture of the Earth. That sounds awesome, but why has he done it?
Well, just like us, Luke is fascinated by the overview effect. Here's his explanation of what the overview effect is and how it relates to his artwork.
So the overview effect is a phenomenon that astronauts have reported ever since people first went into space. And it's this idea of when you look down at the Earth from space and you suddenly become slightly overwhelmed by its beauty and its wonder. And astronauts have always reported this sort of sense of being overwhelmed by the beauty and the wonder of the Earth when they look down at the Earth for the first time. And when astronauts return to the planet, when they return to land or return to Earth, they often become environmental campaigners. So it does have a profound effect on them to be able to see the Earth as this blue marble floating in the blackness of space. And so, yeah, that's kind of what the overview effect is. And the artwork I've made, this Gaia, this Earth replica, I was hoping to sort of create a sense of what that overview effect might be like, to allow people to imagine that they're floating in space, looking down at the Earth from above.
It was the fourth orbit when we finally came to a position where we saw the Earth.
Film, Jim.
And then Anders asked me for color film.
Give me a roll of color quick.
Oh,
Jim.
Man, that's great.
Quick.
Yeah, I've got it right here. No, I got it framed very clearly here.
And Anders does take, I guess, several pictures. And I say, 250 at f11.
Oh, I got it right. Oh, that's a beautiful shot.
And as Anders takes the pictures, one of them, as we learn as we get back home, became the very famous one.
Wow, what a great idea, making a replica of the Earth. It sounds tricky though. How did he do it?
Well, as Luke tells us later, it was hard work, but he did get a helping hand from our friends at NASA, the US Space Agency.
Yeah, so the Earth is made of high-resolution NASA imagery. So you've got to think about how, you know, I want to make something as accurate as I can. So I went to NASA and managed to get some high definition sort of photographs. The sculpture I've made is 7 meters in diameter, and it's suspended from the ceiling of Spaces. And it's on a motor, so it's a sphere, and it's 7 meters in diameter, and it looks like the Earth. It's on a motor that makes it slowly turn as well. And yeah, it's basically a balloon with imagery printed onto the outside of it, and then there's a light inside the balloon that makes it illuminate and glow at night. And in a darkened space, it feels like you're an astronaut perhaps looking down at the Earth from space and looking at its beauty and its wonder. And it's very contemplative and very beautiful, but it took me sort of six or seven months to make something like that.
That sounds amazing. So it's a chance for us to experience the overview effect, and we don't even have to go into space.
And one of the benefits of being on Earth is that we can share this experience with other people.
These artworks that I've made, they leave space around them for the public to talk to one another about what they're experiencing. So we often put chairs around, or yeah, there might be carpets on the floor, or beanbags to allow people to lie back and moonbathe, to lie underneath the moon, or to lie underneath the Earth and share their experience, and they can talk to one another about what they can see. So it's a very kind of communal experience. The artwork I've made comes with a surround sound composition as well, which is the sound of a NASA launch, and it's got the Earth composition, it's got the sound of the oceans, it's got the sound of different languages, people talking around the world. The idea is that you could imagine floating above the Earth and imagine listening to all those conversations going on planet Earth at the same time. So yeah, the surround sound composition creates an atmosphere in space, and that's quite an important part of the artwork. And then also the Earth and the Moon, they act as this venue. So it's an installation artwork for people to experience, but also events can take place beneath it. So we've had yoga lessons underneath the Earth, we've had astronomy lectures, film nights, bands performing, choirs, all sorts of things taking place. So I quite like making artworks that leave space for other people to be creative. And for me, that's when the artworks get really interesting.
When we launched, after about 25 hours of climbing up away from the Earth towards the Moon, I started taking pictures. We separated from Saturn. We were able to turn around and get a view of the Earth. You could almost see it retreating. It's like a kid watching his clock in the school, you know, the hand. Then you look away and it's moved a little bit. So I took a picture of the full Earth, the first full Earth man color shot, which is my favorite picture. And it showed immediately, you know, that the Earth was very pretty, very delicate. It was nothing but blackness around it. But it sure showed that the Earth was a very beautiful, but quite fragile place.
So tell me, Stevie, where can people see Gaia?
Well, at the moment, it's at Millennium Point in Birmingham, England. Gaia will be travelling all across the country and the rest of the world, appearing in churches, cathedrals and art centres. So keep an eye out because the Earth could be coming to a town or city near you very soon.
But what if you're impatient like me, Stevie, and can't wait that long? What if you want to try and experience the overview effect for yourself at home? Is there a way to somehow replicate Luke's artwork?
What you could do, I suppose, you could think about making your own Earth, and that might be a nice thing to do. So perhaps if you were to get one of those Japanese paper lanterns, those round ones that you can buy from places like IKEA, you could make one of those, and you could buy one of those for only a pound or two, and then maybe you could paint the surface of the Earth onto the surface, or use paper mache perhaps. You could blow up a balloon and cover the outside in paper mache, and then paint that to create an Earth. That might be quite a nice thing to do.
Well, I know what I'm doing once we're finished here. Maybe some of our listeners would like to get involved too.
Why not grab a copy of the issue out on the 4th of March to see a special lab activity of how to create your own planet Earth? And we'd love to see them. But if you're more into tech than art, then there's other ways for you to experience the overview effect yourself. NASA's Discover satellites deliver new blue marble-style images of Earth from a distance of almost a million miles away. You can see them for yourself at epic.gsfc.nasa.gov.
Or you can simply step outside and look up. You won't be looking at planet Earth, of course, but just looking up at the stars on a clear night can evoke a feeling of awe, not dissimilar to what the astronauts themselves experienced. After all, that's how Lisa Harvey Smith got started.
As a professional scientist, you can sometimes get bogged down in the sort of details, and you have to know about maths and science and look at data and charts and things like that. But, you know, when I actually just go outside and look at the stars, and on a really, really cold night or somewhere really, really dark, I've looked up and just been smashed by the enormity of it. And I still love those moments when you're not in a big town or a city, but you go out into the countryside and it's breathtaking, and that will never leave me, I think. And I really recommend that everyone does that once in a while, just to get grounded again and just to look and think and imagine what else could be out there.
It really makes you stop and think, doesn't it? No matter what divides us, we're all sharing the same home, this tiny pea, as Neil Armstrong described it, in the middle of space.
So the next time you're looking up at the stars in the sky, stop to think about what our world must look like from out there in the darkness of space.
So, we've heard from the experts, now we'd love to hear what from you. Have you ever experienced your own version of the overview effect? And what do you think experience it would inspire you to do, try or change? Email hello@science-nature.co.uk to share your thoughts with us, either with a written message or a video recording. And of course, don't forget to pick up your latest copy of the Week Junior Science and Nature for even more mysteries.
We'll be back in 2 weeks' time for the last episode of this series, where top scientists will be answering your science mysteries, from whether or not unicorns are real to what caused the Big Bang. Until then,
stay curious.
If you want to get your hands on a copy of the Week Junior magazine, we're offering a 6-week free trial. To get yours, head over to dennismags.co.uk/theweekjunior and use the code PODCAST.